الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. وهذا البلد الأمين الله عز وجل He swore by this secure land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last of the prophets and their seal. And he chose Mecca to be the land from which light illuminates. And it was the place of his birth sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his advent was from Mecca as well. And he continued to call the people to the deen of Allah and the land of Allah. It is indeed the land of Allah and its sacred place. Mecca al-Mukarrama, history, reminders, biography. In the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, Verily the first house established for people is that in Mecca, which is Mecca. Mubarakan, it is blessed. Wahudan lil alameen, it is the source of guidance for everything. Alameen includes human and jinn. In it, in that place, ayatun bayinat. There are clear, manifest signs and miraculous proofs and evidences, including the maqam of Ibrahim. And whosoever enters Mecca shall be secure. And to Allah belongs the right of people performing Hajj. To the house, whoever is able to do so. And whosoever disbelieves, then Allah is in no need of the creation. It is a place to which the prophets performed Hajj, and it is a place where their leader led people in Salah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From Mecca comes the light of guidance, and from there the message of Tawheed began. Where it encompassed the whole earth, and it changed the world, and it has placed the most beautiful and just culture history has ever known, and it has become the center of the world because it is the most noble and virtuous of places, and it is the most beloved of lands to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Makkah al-Mukarrama is also known as Ummul Qura, and the Arabs, whenever the traditional Arabs, that is, whenever they wanted to speak about something and give it significance, they will call it the mother of. For example, Fatiha is called Ummul Kitab, the mother of the book, because of its significance and importance in comparison to the other surah in the Quran. And anytime they want to honor something, they will call it the mother of something, meaning it's the head, the one in charge, the one that everything else becomes inferior to. Ummul Qura is the mother of towns because of its virtue in comparison to other places. The Prophet ﷺ was born in Mecca. He was raised in Mecca. He spent half a century in Mecca. And this is sufficient honor for a place which Allah ﷻ has already honored. It is in these blessed and sacred lands that Jibreel brought the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is from the mountain of Safa that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaimed the da'wah. If the Kaaba was to speak to you, or if Zamzam was to speak to you, or the Maqam of Ibrahim was to speak to you, they will say to you, here was Abu Bakr, and there was Umar, and here was Uthman, and there was Ali, and others among the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who illuminated this world and purified the land. And the battle between the oneness and the uniqueness of Allah versus idolatry occurred in this place, and Allah gave the establishment to His deen and the victory to the Tawheed. In Mecca al-Mukarrama, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood before the Kaaba teaching people the great understandings and mannerism and drawing for the son of Adam the most sound methodology that no other nation or culture has been able to establish up until today. And the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored it, among the reasons why it is honored, is that Allah made it the place where the revelation was sent down, the Quran. And it is the source of Islam. And Allah virtued and gave it a virtue over the rest of the lands tremendously. And its hurma, it's called al-balad al-haram. Yani it is sacred. Something haram is something that you should not engage in. There's a limit, there's a violation. Once you cross that, you have fallen into a sacred place. So the sacred sanctuary of Allah is what He made haram. As in the hadith of Nu'man, which everyone knows. أَلَا وَأَنَّ لِكُلِّ مَلِكٍ حِمَى أَلَا وَأَنَّ حِمَى اللَّهِ مَحَارِمُهُ. Every king has a sanctuary that is sacred, and those of Allah are the things He made haram. This is where the name comes from, the idea of haram. Why you call it haram? Because Allah made it sacred. It's a limitation wherein you cannot violate what Allah Azza wa Jalla had stipulated. It is a place that will maintain its sanctuary and sacredness as means of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the hour, until the end of time. And this is why, and this is an important fiqh issue where many people have a problem, this is why no one can make it to the miqat except that he must be in the state of ihram. And unfortunately, today, unfortunately, people do it the other way around. Almost every day you get a phone call, brother, my cousins came from whatever country. My parents came from another country and they came here to Jeddah and they rested for a few days and then they went, you know, to do it. No, Habibi. If they come from anywhere in the world and their niyyah is to do Umrah, even if they want to visit you and start a business, they may have 20 million things on their agenda. Once Umrah is part of that, you cannot go through the miqat without being in the state of ihram and saying Labbaik Allahumma Umrah or whatever at the time of the miqat. You cannot. If they are too old, they would like to rest, they can come in their ihram and rest overnight. All of the restrictions apply. No cutting the nails, no cutting the hair, no using soap, which we all know. And the next day when they have relaxed, they may cannot cover their head, etc. They can go to the Umrah. They may rest, but they are in the state of ihram. Yani they are supposed to be doing the Umrah. They just haven't made it to Mecca yet. You cannot come and chill out for a few weeks and then say, I'm going to go do Umrah now. Tayyib, that we must teach our relatives prior to coming here. Otherwise, an animal must be sacrificed. There's them. Or they have to return to the miqat. Actually, the scholars say first they have to return to the miqat. If they're unable to do so, then they may sacrifice an animal. So why complicate things? Do the Umrah first and then relax second. Anyways, this is part of its sanctuary. The sacredness that you cannot enter this area unless you are in the state of ihram. You've changed your clothes, you have the towels on, and you all know the etiquettes of Hajj and Umrah. From the wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that He chose Mecca to be the source of the divine revelations. So this is an extra honor above the honor it already had amongst the creation of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has honored it unlike any other land. So much so that even in the Quran, it has been given a few titles which we should learn and teach our children. And the children should memorize this right now. Mecca أو بكة. The ayah mentions بكة, and the scholars have a whole discussion on this. It's speaking about the same place. It's not like Mecca is one place and بكة is another place. This is just different usage of the word. Different letters in the same word referring to the same place. Al-Masjid al-Haram, we all know that as well. So Mecca, بكة, Al-Masjid al-Haram, Umm al-Qura, which we discussed, and Al-Balad Al-Amin. Allah swore by that. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. You all know the surah. Furthermore, Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever He wants to honor something, He refers it to His great self. يعني, for example, ناقتullah. ناقتullah, the camel of Allah. We all understand what it means. That this camel was special, so Allah referred it to Himself. he joined its name with his name, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean it's the camel of Allah. Literally, everyone understands that. Same thing we can say about Baytullah, the house of Allah. It doesn't mean it's the house of Allah. Allah is honoring that creation. Kalamullah, the Quran, is the speech of Allah. This is not created. This is one of the attributes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Anyways, whenever Allah refers something to Himself, it is an indicative of this honor and the virtue that this thing possesses. And we have many examples in the Quran. Khalid ibn al-Walid, what was he called? Saifullah, the sword of Allah. Hamza, Asadullah, the lion of Allah, and the list goes on. So anyways, Allah said, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, and we have taken a covenant upon Ibrahim and Ismail that you shall purify Bayti. Again, we should not use hand gestures to refer to ourselves. I don't say Bayti because Allah is speaking about Himself. And so you don't say me because you're now in trouble again. Keep the hands down. That Allah said, my house, Bayti, my house, that you should purify it for the ta'ifin, those who do tawaf, circumambulation, wal-akifin, those who do an i'tikaf, wal-rukka, those who are doing ruku, wal-sujood, those who are prostrating, yani people involved in acts of worship in the haram. In another ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal said that because He made this place of security and peace, have they not seen that we have made haraman, a sacred, aminan, secure. وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ, while around them people are being kidnapped and their lives are being threatened. Yani even among the Jahiliyyah, the people of Jahiliyyah, if one saw the killer of his father at the Kaaba, he would not touch him. He would be looking for him for years to get his revenge for his father. If he seen him at the Kaaba, he would not touch him. This is how they, even the Juhal, the kuffar of Quraysh, used to honor and venerate the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what about the believers? The Shaykh said, and the sacredness and the security of this land encompasses human beings, animals, and vegetation, plants, trees, etc. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, verily this land Allah has made sacred the day He created the heavens and the earth. So it will remain sacred per Allah's command until the day of judgment. And it is not permissible for anyone to fight, engage in warfare in this place. Not before me, no one was allowed to fight except before me except myself. And I was only given permission for 1 hour of a day. 1 hour of a day as an exception to the rule. Otherwise it is haram per the sacredness or the prohibition of Allah to this place until the day of judgment. No one is allowed to hunt and no one is allowed to pick up something that you found on the floor. If you find something, it doesn't matter what it is. The only time you're allowed to pick it up is to identify it to the one who lost it. Yani, I found this watch. You don't say, wallah, I found the watch, I take it and go home with it. This is a special ruling concerning Mecca. You leave that alone, or you give it to those who will, you know, if there's a lost and found kind of department, then they are the ones who take care of it. But you don't take something. And the Prophet ﷺ, except one who identifies this item. And you should not even cut the trees. Even the trees and the plants should be left alone. In another narration, also in Bukhari, in Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that this Mecca Allah has made sacred, it is not the people who made it sacred. And it is not permissible for anyone who believes in Allah on the last day to spill any blood or to cut any tree. And if anyone tries to use what I did as a concession, tell them that Allah has given me the permission and has not given it to you. So it remains sacred until the day of judgment. So let those who hear convey this to those who are absent. This is how Islam then magnifies the sacredness and the peace of this house. And it is compulsory on the Muslim to respect that. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, and this is very important, that whosoever merely develops an intention, not the one who does it, whoever develops an intention to commit a sin in the haram, Allah will hasten his punishment. The ayah says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Listen to this. Whosoever yurid, min irada. This is not the fi'l or al-amal. This is only intending to do so. Whosoever intends fihi ilhad is deviance, gone away from the straight path. Whoever intends any deviance in belief, in shirk, in ibadah, bid'ah, anything of this nature, even sins, bidhulmin, in the state of wrongdoing and oppression, nudhikhu min adhabin aleem, we will make him taste a severe punishment. This is for the intention. Let alone the action, that's another discussion. The intention is enough to necessitate Allah's punishment, per the ayah. And we will see some more explanation as it comes earlier, or later, afwan. Then, whoever then enters this place, so whoever enters this place while committing shirk, and many Muslims, may Allah guide us and guide them and rectify our condition and theirs, they are attached to physical structures, not to Allah Azza wa Jal. So they come and their main concern is Maqam Ibrahim. Some of the scholars have differed whether actually this is the place. That's besides the point. Let's leave that aside. And so they kiss it and they grab and seek barakah from a construction that they made somewhere down the street. Or they go to this, you know, the sitar of the Kaaba and they seek blessings from the clothing or the cloth of the Kaaba. Or the hajar of the Kaaba. And the list goes on. Even Umar radiallahu anhu realized this dangerous understanding. Even al-Hajar al-Aswad, which according to authentic narrations was in Jannah, and it was white, it became black because of the sins of people. Before he kissed it, he said, I know you're a hajar, you don't benefit nor do you harm. Had I not seen the Messenger of Allah kiss you, I wouldn't kiss you. This is ibadah. This is what the Messenger did, this is what we do. Does the hajar benefit or harm? La wallah. It's Allah, al-Nafi' al-Dar. These are from the two names of Allah Azza wa Jal and His attributes. No one else, not even the Messenger of Allah, not even the awliya, not even the ulama, can benefit anyone or harm him. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who controls all that. So people come, one woman, and this is from authentic sources, was doing tawaf around the Kaaba. Her daughter asked her, why are we doing tawaf around the Kaaba? She told her, because the grave of the Messenger of Allah is in the Kaaba. That's why we're doing tawaf, because he's buried inside. So this is, you know, and you see people doing all kinds of shirk in the haram. You get shocked, ya akhi, you come from the other side of the world, you know, for the tawheed of Allah, to commit shirk in the land of tawheed. It is very strange. But this is the problem of the ummah we're suffering from today. Ignorance is spread. There's no time to learn the most basic of tawheed. We know everything about electronics, about the architect, about science, but we know little about the deen. So someone falls into the most major sin and the most sacred land. And this is not befitting. The deen is for Allah. The deen is tawheed. Allah is the one whom we magnify, deify and venerate. These things, we magnify them because Allah commanded us to do so. Not because of the structure itself. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said to Aisha, had your people not been recent into Islam, I would have destroyed the Kaaba and reconstructed it according to the way of Ibrahim. Yani he wanted to, the Kaaba had a particular physical structure at the time of Ibrahim. Through the floods, many floods happened at the time of the Arabs before even the Ba'tha, that it was demolished and rebuilt numerous times. He wanted it to take it back as Ibrahim built it, but he was afraid the people will panic. They're recent to Islam, so if they see the Kaaba being destroyed, it will be a shock to them that this is the house of Allah. So he left it alone, alayhi salatu wasalam, even though his intention was to do so. It is not the structure. Otherwise, the stone that you see today is not the same one that was before. It has been remodeled, if we may say. It has been through, construction, reconstruction, like any other construction. It cannot survive all these years. So we don't get attached. We love the Kaaba. We love the Kaaba. We honor the Kaaba. But we're not stuck on the actual physical structure. It is the Lord of the Kaaba. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. The Lord of the house, not the house itself. So don't go to the Kaaba and hang there on the wall and cry and think that because you are now stuck to the Kaaba, something special is going to happen. La wallah. It is the heart that is attached to Allah which will bring the benefits and will bring the blessings from Allah and the guidance, not the structure itself. So we need to be careful of shirk and kufr and bid'ah also. Hopefully next week we will deal with, you know, people, you know, have 16,000 kisses when every time they go around, they get to the, you know, the rukun. الحجر الأسود. They have multiple kisses and two hands. Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Mafi, we don't have this. Ya akhi, the sunnah is clear. If you're there, you kiss the stone. If you're close and you have a stick, then you can put it and kiss the stick. If you're too far, you raise your hand, one hand, and you say, Allahu Akbar. Bas. No kissing the hand, no multiple hands, no wiping the face, no repetition. This is ibadah. We do it as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it and taught us to do it. You think if you say extra Allahu Akbar, Allah is going to like it? Allah will love it. If Allah loved more than one Allahu Akbar, He would have revealed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would have taught it to the Ummah. They didn't do that many things. We don't do that many things. But many innovations happen over there. We need to learn the Sunnah and teach it to our brothers in Islam. Tayyib. So the Shaykh said, and included in that are those who try to take advantage of, you know, raise the prices in Mecca. Yani they keep food away until it becomes demanded, commodities specifically, and then suddenly they bring him to the market and raise the price. He said this is part of oppression and wrongdoing in Mecca, which Allah will punish the person for taking part of. So then merely the intention may get you destroyed. And the Shaykh said, as long as this house is secure, then this earth will be secure, bi-idhnillah, because it is a source of security for the whole world. Among the special qualities of this safe and sacred land is that it is the most beloved of places to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, by Allah, you are the most noble of land to Allah and the most beloved of lands to Allah. And by Allah, had it not been that your people made me leave, I would not leave. And if the Quraysh did not force him to do hijrah, he would have not done hijrah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Mecca because of the amount of love he had to the place sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said another narration, how noble or how good you are of a land and how beloved you are to me. And had you people not made me leave, I would have never chosen a place beside you. Of course, this is not a form of nationalism. His attachment to the place is because it is beloved to Allah. It is not trying to incite or encourage nationalism that each one should be, as many people say, you know, we do it for the deen and for the land. No, we do it for the deen and for the deen. The land is unimportant. Unless the land is part of the deen, so it becomes because of the deen that the land is being honored, as in Mecca. But not everyone should, you know, hold on to his nationalism and become a patriotic, you know, individual, you know, for India, for Pakistan, for Lebanon, everybody, you know, dividing the ummah. We don't have that. We don't get attached to a land. We get attached to the deen of Allah. If the deen of Allah gives this land a virtue, then we give it virtue per the evidences. Not as a form of ignorance or nationalism as it is spread today. From among the means that Allah used to honor Mecca is that He legislated Hajj, pilgrimage to it. And He made it the fifth pillar of the pillars of Islam. And another means with which Allah honored this place is that He made the hearts of people, the hearts of slaves, naturally inclined towards it. And Mecca is haram, so it becomes haram for you to carry a weapon unless there's a need or a necessity. And he quoted the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah that the Prophet ﷺ said, it is not permissible for any one of you to carry a weapon in Mecca. Whoever enters it shall be in the state of security. But whoever legally is supposed to be killed will be killed because of a legal exception, not because of anything else. And whoever deserves to be punished shall be punished. However, it should remain a place of security, tranquility, and a peace of mind as Allah commanded. So as long as the people magnify this house, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant them success, bi-idhnillah Azza wa Jal. From among the virtues of Allah, or the virtues of the Balad al-Haram, is that Allah made good deeds multiplied in that place. Hasanat are multiplied. The hasana in Mecca is multiplied in reward. We have a special narration about the virtue of salah in the haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, a salah in my masjid is equal to 1,000 salah elsewhere, except Al-Masjid Al-Haram, wherein the salah over there is 100 times the reward of the salah in my masjid. If you do the math, if this is 1,000 times 100, that's 100,000 salawat. Yani one salah in the haram is equal to 100,000 prayers elsewhere. If we spend our whole life praying, we may not make it to the 100,000 salah. But one salah in haram. However, we need to keep in mind the khushu' and the situation. It is not just anyone who throws, you know, some people go pray, you know, like they're in a hurry. You know, there's no khushu', no tranquility. Then the reward is also associated with the quality of the salah, not only the quantity. Anyways, the scholars have differed. Is this multiplication of reward restricted to the immediate vicinity of the haram, or does it include all of Mecca? And there's a valid difference of opinion. He said that the preponderant opinion, the one that is, you know, the Jamahir al-Ulama, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that anywhere in Mecca, this reward is multiplied. Yani if you pray in any masjid in Mecca, then you will get the multiplication. However, praying in the haram is superior because of the closeness to the actual Kaaba and because the jama'ah is bigger. But some of the scholars say it's only in the haram. Allahu a'lam ala kulli hal. Allahu a'lam. Either way, we ask Allah's, you know, generosity and bounty. But be careful now. The same way the hasana is multiplied, so is the sin. So is the sin. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu had said, if a man intends to kill a believing Muslim in the haram, and he's all the way in Aden, in Yemen, once he establishes that intention back in his home country, that I will kill this man at the haram, then Allah will make him taste a severe punishment back where he is. Just because of that intention. In another narration, from the statements of the Sahaba, I lost it here. What happened? Ayu afwan. And the Mujahid rahimahullah said, sins are multiplied in Mecca the same way good deeds are multiplied. So we need to be very careful then. The same way then, the Shaykh said, there are special virtues for Mecca, then we need to be careful of sins. And so this we need to then realize the following. Sometimes we miss the connection between things. I'm just going to give you a quick example. When we go to the haram and we take our wives and daughters, tayyib, keeping in mind that the sin is multiplied, when our female family members are not dressed according to the deen, and they go become a source of fitna to the men over there, besides the sins that the men are committing, the man responsible for these women will get an equal sin to everyone who disobeys Allah at the haram because of him. Are we clear on that? Man dalla ila dalal kana lahu min al-wizri mithla awzari man tabi'ahu la yanqusu dhalika min awzarihim shay'a. You call people to evil and misguidance, then you will get an equal sin without their sins being reduced the least bit. So if a girl goes there dressed in a haram fashion, then all these men look at her. It's a big deal in the haram to be looking at women. Then the man is responsible for all of these. So what was supposed to be an act of worship becomes means of destruction. Why? Because the deen became ritualism. Oh, Umrah, Hajj, we go into Mecca. Their whole life is violations. The whole deen is watered down. They barely practice anything in Islam, but wallah, we go do in our Umrah every now and then, we think we're going straight to Jannah. The deen doesn't work this way. And we need to evaluate things correctly. You can be going with your daughter half naked and your wife is exposed and think, oh Allah, you're going to go get the reward of Umrah while doing Umrah. You're going to get the sins of all these people, come back home empty handed. You've caused more problems than solutions. Now we need to be very delicate. If it's an act of worship, everyone dress correctly, everyone fears Allah, we avoid all haram, go get the reward and return. The Sahaba used to leave Mecca. They would avoid living in Mecca because of this ayah which we quoted earlier. Because they were afraid that if they disobey Allah there, their sin will be multiplied. So they will avoid going there. Now we run to go there, but we don't have that same sensitivity regarding the sins. This is something which we should develop and instill in our children. Among the virtues of Mecca is that it is haram for one to face it, whether with his front or his back, while releasing oneself. Yani bathroom business, you cannot be facing the Mecca with your face, or you cannot give it at your back either. شرقوا أو غربوا, go west or go east, but do not face it and do not give it your back. This is from the, even if you're on the other side of the world, you do not face the Qibla. This is how Allah Azza wa Jal honored Al-Kaaba. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. In the second khutbah, the Shaykh said, now what is expected of us, people who live within the boundaries of Al-Haram, concerning the delegation of Allah, Wafdullah? We are supposed to honor them. And I'm sure many of us here who live in Jeddah, when our relatives in their homeland want to do Umrah Hajj, they usually come and stay with us here. What rights do they have over us? We should honor them, and we should respect them, and we should help them, and give them everything they need, and we should teach them the matters of the deen. And this is the most important. Before they go for Hajj and start violating left and right, then when it's done, they go back and ask, Wallah, I did this and I did that, and then they say, now you have to go back and do Tawaf al-Wada' because you didn't do it. We fall into all these issues. Let us learn the rights of Umrah and Hajj before we engage in them. This is wajib on every Muslim, to learn Ibadah before engaging in it. Send them material available at the Da'wah centers for free. There's a very popular green book about the etiquettes and the rights of Hajj and Umrah. It's a wonderful book, in Urdu, available in English and Arabic and all languages. Send it to the people back home before they come. Pay that money, but let them come and do Umrah Hajj according to the deen of Allah, so you will save yourself the headache after they come here and you realize half of their ibadah was contrary to the sunnah. So we need to teach them the matters of the deen, and we should give them food if they need food and be nice to them. The people of Jahiliyyah used to give water, used to provide drink for the Hujjaj and some raisins, and they considered that from their honor and from their virtue, from their good qualities and characteristics. Isn't it more becoming and befitting that a Muslim does that, seeking the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So then we should do so. We should be lenient with them. We should not be tough and stern. Smile, be compassionate, be forbearing. Don't harm them, don't belittle them, don't undermine them. Verily they are the delegation of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Hujjaj and the Ummar, those are doing Hajj, the Hajjis, and those are doing Umrah, Wafdullah, they are Allah's delegation. If they ask Allah, if they supplicate to Allah, He will answer them. And if they seek His forgiveness, He will forgive them. That's very important. Now the delegation of Allah, the Shaykh gave a very good example which he didn't mention here. If a king or the president of a country send a delegation of his, how will you treat them? Honoring them is part of honoring the sender. By you, you know, when they go back, say, MashaAllah, you sent us to excellent people. He is honored by your honoring of his guests, his delegation. So he said, what about then the wafd of Allah, the delegation of Allah, the King of all kings? How will you treat them? How will you treat them? If they make dua, Allah will accept. Yeah, and if you give them a bottle of water and he says, Jazakallahu khair, and they make dua for you, Allah will accept that. And if you harm them and they made dua against you, then Allah will also accept that. And he warned those involved in Hamlat al-Hajj, those who turn it into a business. They promised them, you know, you'll be in this, in Alif, and we will give you this, and you will have accommodation, ice cream, Pepsi, everything. They come, no transportation, no buses, they're staying in Muzdalifah, not even on Mina. Lies and lies and lies, only to catch customers. This is crazy. This is how we do with the Hujjaj, and we've seen them. You go to Hajj and you see people fighting with the bus driver, and the bus driver smoking, wal-iyadhu billah, while he's taking the people on ibadah smoke. Myself, we had to, you know, get in with the driver numerous times. Then what, you know what the solution was? We're on a time budget. Every time he wants to smoke a cigarette, he will pull over, go downstairs and smoke. And we're sitting in the bus, ya akhi, we have ibadah to do. But you don't want me to smoke on the bus? No, mafi mushkila. I'll smoke outside. Go back home, ya Sheikh. Wallah, we don't need people like you. You either come make things easy for the people or stay home, don't gain the sin. Of all these hujjaj making dua against you, Allah, you may enter Jahannam because of Hamlet Hajj. Either do the job or stay home. Either you qualified or you don't involve yourself with harming the hujjaj, the delegation of Allah. Many people take it lightly. It is not a light matter. So the Shaykh said, be careful then. And fear Allah. Do not have any shortcomings. And if you do have shortcomings which are inevitable, then give him alternatives. Yeah, and if you promised them a place in Mina and you were not able to give it to them, say, okay, you paid me 4,000 riyals, this will be reduced to 3,500. He's 500 riyals for not keeping my word. Because anyone may make mistakes. But when we make mistakes, we don't do it on the expense of the people. We give them back their due right. So the Shaykh warned these people then that we should be honest with them, honest with the Hujjaj, tell them everything as is. Allah will put a blessing in barakah. But we take their money unlawfully and we want blessings from Allah, it's not going to happen. Allah says, oh, you have believed, have taqwa of Allah and be among the truthful. So he said, oh slaves of Allah, this is the end. Avoid harming the Hujjaj and the people doing Umrah. And each one of us should honor his guest, because he is the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And part of honoring Allah is honoring this guest of ours. And he made dua that Allah gives us all this. Inshallah, he said next week, and I do encourage everyone to attend, the khutbah will be about Hajj. And some of the things which we should know about Hajj. So we can learn them and teach them to our children. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.